Have us say amen. All right, our reading is verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." I would like this morning for a few minutes to share with you a thought on woman's mission. Shall we pray? Father, we come before the throne of a gracious God asking for the help that only comes from you. Stand by us, unctionize our thoughts that they may be thought after you, and that you would give us words that will lodge in the hearts of men and women. And may this thought that you have placed on our heart be the springboard of greater thoughts until we are consumed by your word and led by your spirit. And we will thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Woman has a mission, probably one of the greatest missions in the world, has fallen upon her shoulder. She is to guide her house. But it is more than just as a guide that we approach the subject this morning. Woman has a mission, and as lined out by the Bible, we will hold to the Bible for our guidelines of this mission. We've come with the questions of what is it, what precisely, the rank is she to occupy, what is the purpose she is to fulfill, above which she would be unduly exalted and below which she would be unjustly degraded. This is the subject. And we have to ask it as we pronounce these missions as more than one. We may know that she has a right to a certain claim. Not only does she have a right to that claim, but man must learn to concede to that claim. It is that we may know and that she may know what is rightly expected of her. For we live in a nation where we are almost out of control. So I would like to endeavor this morning to answer those questions and point out the nature of a woman's mission. The thing that I'm doing is just that we will base all that we have upon God's view, because absolutely do we believe that God's word is the final word and that God's Bible is an inspired Bible and inspired so by God for the guidance of man and for the help of man. We find that this God that was the creator of both male and female, both sexes, therefore, we turn to him and look for him to be the arbitrator of the social duties and the claims, the immunities, and admitted by all who believe the authority of the Bible. There is quite a bit that the Bible has to say about woman and her mission. The first thing I would concede as pastor is to tell you that I wouldn't know what to do if God hadn't gave woman that mission. The old timers would say we would just be up a creek without a paddle. That's how dependent I am upon my wife being able to fulfill her mission. And the men didn't say amen, but you ladies can say amen. We would be a proverbial wreck. You see, God created, and therefore God is best qualified to see what the mission of a woman is. Oftentimes, we try to fix a position upon her which the Bible has not delegated to her. And sometimes we try to take from her that God-given role that she is to play. But above all, this morning, we need to look and understand that the blessings of religious life are not just given to man. It's given to both sex. And we need to come to the realization that in Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female, but all on the level of obligations and duties. Just as God has given a role to the woman, He has also given a role to the man. And the happy home is those who are content, for godliness with contentment is great gain. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So we need godliness, we need contentment, and we need the help of the scriptures. And it is in these scriptures that we find ourselves this morning. God gave Adam such a wonderful intellect. He was naming all the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. And he was not, but the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20 that but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. The lions came in pairs, the giraffes came in pairs, the birds came in pairs, but Adam was alone. And there was not found for him a help meet. So Adam was created, but undeveloped. Undeveloped socially, for there was a something that has to be added to him. Indeed, it was essential that it be added to him. It is this particular deity that we deal with called God, who does all things and does them well. So he is the only one that can live by himself and doesn't seek comfort from anyone else. And he is satisfied with himself. But when it comes to man, man is not complete without his helpmeet. So even an archangel would pine away if kept in total solitude. We are made for fellowshipping. Adam, surrounded by the glories of paradise and by all the various tribes it contained, yet he found himself alone and needing companionship. Without it, his life was but a solitude. Eden itself became a desert, though it bloomed and blossomed. It became an unending drudgery. To walk even in the evening time with God did not always fulfill Adam's need. He found him no helpmate. You see, we've come and don't quite understand what it is to have a half-life. But that's what Adam had, a half-life. He was alive. He fellowshiped God, had a great intellect. He had physical being without any pain or any kind of defect. But yet he was half alive. And so as long as he lived alone, he was going to stay unfulfilled. The form to think, to speak, to love, his thoughts yearned for another's thoughts, for another's feelings, for another's someone to hold his thoughts up and see what they thought of them. You see, it's something that we just don't really put on the chalkboard and say, man, I'm glad I got a wife that I can bounce this thought off of her and see what she thinks about it. But Adam had no one to say, I feel lonely. Do you? I feel hungry. Do you? He was half alive. But now in his love and regards of these earthly objects that he had, he could not bestow it upon anyone. He could not pick a flower from the garden and hand it to anyone. He could not do as others were doing. And that's for God gave him life, but then for him to be fulfilled, God had to do for him above the condition of which he was in, and that condition was perfection. It's hard to deal with people who are egotistical. But that's where Adam would have ended up if God had not have dealt with him the way that he did. The mission of a woman was to keep him from being egotistical. It is said, whereupon God made woman. And the great problem that Adam had was immediately resolved. That's one problem. Immediately resolved. It is the characteristic of someone, whether unfallen or fallen, that we seek either someone to share our joy with or our sorrow with. We want someone to talk to. We need someone. And it is a woman's mission. This is what the Bible says in the book of Psalms in 21 and 3. This is where God has put him. For thou preventest him with the goodness, blessings of goodness. For thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. God kept Adam from being what he should never have been by giving him a helpmeet. I know, brethren, that you're not going to help me much this morning, but that's well and good. I will continue my thought, because man needs a companion, and man needs companionship. So God gave man a woman. And there was no other man than Adam at the time of existence. So Eve was designed exclusively for Adam. Now that tells you something about the problem that we have in America today. Here God said that I am making this woman exclusively for this man. If it had been God's plan, and I hope I don't offend you, but if I do, I have, he would have made two men, or he would have made two women. Amen. But God made one man and one woman. You're welcome. You see, God designed exclusively for Adam a comfort, and he found this comfort in his wife. It teaches us that from the beginning, whatever mission woman may have to accomplish, it's in reference to man that she must accomplish it. For God made her a helpmeet to a man. And therefore, we see she becomes a suitable helpmeet. And one man to whom she is united, it was declared from the beginning that from the beginning it was not so that man should ever put away his wife. And it is also said, man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Genesis 2 and 24. They shall leave, he shall leave father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, woman has a position in paradise to be man's companion, but the Bible says of her, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Genesis 3 and 16. Her position, because of the fall, brought her down to where she is now in submission to her husband. It has been said, and I read this, it has been said and often shown that by being taken from himself, she was equal to the man in nature. While the very part of the body from which she was abstracted indicated the position she was intended to occupy, she was not taken from the head to show she was not to rule over him, nor from his foot to teach that she was not to be his slave, nor from his hand to show that she was not to be his tool, but from his side to show that she was to be his companion. There may perhaps be more ingenuity and fancy in this than God's original plan, but it is so true. But if a mere conceit, then it's pardonable, but it's not from your feet. She's not your slave. It's not from your head, because she is equal to man in nature. And this is what the Bible says. He took a rib from man's side, that we would show there that she was to walk shoulder to shoulder, bumping occasionally into him, to give him the confidence to walk on. She is a companion for life. Woman was intended to occupy a position of subordination and dependence. That's clear from God's word, for right there it says that that thy desire shall be to thy husband and he shall rule over thee, as subordination, but not as a slave, and not as a piece of ownership of that you can just drop or sell or buy. She is more than that. Her husband was the center of her earthly desire, and Eve comforted Adam, and Adam protected Eve. And that is the companionship of life. There is in this a true position of a woman, and the Bible just tells us in the epistles, if you like New Testament rather than Old Testament, it just simply says they are enjoined to be subject to their husbands in all things, even as the church is subject to Christ. So we know the position here is that position that we must work together and realize our roles are different, and that because our roles are different, we are to fulfill them to please God. Christianity is such a great help when it comes to fulfilling roles. For you have a book, a guidebook to go by. It's not public whim, it's not public fancy. It's a creator who drew out the best guidelines for a man and woman to live together until death do they part. It's in this book that we find ourselves, that it's like the sun that rules the day and the moon that rules the night. And when one is out, if the moon comes out in the day, it's there, you can see it, but it doesn't shine too brightly because it's out of place. But if that moon stays in its orb, and it will rule the night. There's times when it is full and it is bright and you would almost think it's daylight out, but no, it's not quite, and we know that. But it is in this role that God has given us that each, every one of us can enhance a family and can bring again the unity to a family that is needed. It is in this situation that we live in America where the family is being bombarded, where they're trying to break up every family tie and to bring about the demise of the family. And to do that would be chaos. But I say to you this morning that a woman's mission is to be the keeper of the house. And if she keeps her home, she will rule well. Amen. And if we will just but borrow from this old book, this New Testament will mean more to us if we can but come back to the original, the beginning when God made one man and one woman and solved man's problem by giving him one wife. And she did solve Adam's problem. She became the sounding board that he could bounce his thoughts off of. Her touch of affection became the increasing reason why that he may go and have to toil in the garden, but speedily he will come home at night. And it's still that way with all of Adam's children. If we have this right, we may have to leave home, but as soon as work is done, we will hasten back home. Can I get an amen? It is that love that God put in the heart of that woman for that man. Everything connected with the relationship of man and woman has been affected by the fall. And because of the fall, the woman is anxious to be reinstated back to her first position. Therefore, it takes subordination. She must now try to comfort the man of which she brought sorrow to by her fall. She must now reach out to him to always be there, that touch of assurance, that touch that everything is all right, I am here, must always be that constant desire of her is to strengthen that man, that that man may stand tall, be responsible, be loving, and bring forth children, that they as a couple may rear them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. It all starts in Genesis. To receive from him all that respect and protection and ever assiduous affection to which her equal nature, her companionship, her devotedness to him is what her claim is. I am your helpmeet. Amen. She is in wedded life to be his constant companion. And in that constant companion, they meet hand to hand, eye to eye, lip to lip, heart to heart. And only then can they unburden the secrets of their heart. That pressed down care, that wrung out of anguish, there it is, eye to eye, hand to hand, lip to lip, heart to heart. A man unburdens his soul. He does so because he trusts his helpmeet, that tomorrow it will not be back on the street. He trusts his helpmeet, that tomorrow his secrets will be secure. So he must tell someone his fears. He must tell someone his anxieties. He must converse. He must share. So God gave Adam Eve to be his helpmeet. Can I get an amen? You see, in hours of retired conversation, man has been known to tell all his secrets of his heart. And find in her the capability and the prompting of the most tender and endeared fellowship. In her gentle smile and unrestrained speech, enjoy all the aspects in one who is given by God to be his associate and his friend. Man has a wonderful thing in companionship. For he has the woman that God has given him. He has the wife that she involves to be. He has the best friend that he's ever had and the closest companion he could ever think of. And from that, he enjoys and is consoled and cheered. And when injured or insulted, he can come home and she can heal the wounds of his troubled spirit. It is when the groaning and anguish to claim that those words that she can say can bring peace and can bring it in such a wonderful way because it makes her part of the ministering spirit that God sends to men. Anyone say amen? If I was younger, I would listen to this more intently because I never had a pastor who took time to tell me anything like this. So I'm trying to get to you and trying to tell you that this morning I may not be able to help your situation, but I can reach out to your children and I can talk to your children about a situation called marriage and companionship for life. Listen to me as I come to my conclusion. Nor should she be backward. She should not be backward, she should offer. And he should not be backward to receive the counsel and the wisdom of her prudence will suggest that we ought to listen. Woe to the man who will listen to others and not his wife. Woman's advice, had it been asked for, and had it been received and acted upon, would have saved thousands of men from being a wreck. Woman, in her ability, has made man regret not taking her counsel. For one of the hardest things is to look her in the eye and have her say, "I told you so." A prudent wife will save you from a multitude of reproaches. A prudent wife will not have any folly and will not permit folly when it comes to the sacredness of that union. We may joke, we may laugh, but when it comes to the things that keep us married, it is no laughing matter. For you who still refer to her as the old woman, it's no wonder you don't listen to her. You have to have more respect than that before you receive her counsel. Have I got your attention yet? And so I affirm the truth is that providence has willed it and nature prompts it, but as that expectations are numerous of her, one of the best things that she is a trusted advisor. Amen. And if we would but listen, why did God put her so close to us if we do not believe in her? And why did you ask her to marry you if you do not respect her? Amen. Every woman, whether rich or poor, married or single, has a circle of influence within which, according to her character, she has a certain amount of allotted power. Amen. And if you're just courting, I remember getting in the car and going to Greene County at a high rate of speed, of which I was glad that there was no very many state troopers on that state road. And coming back the same way, speedily, I was dispatched to go see her because my heart would not go any slower. And there are times when we often do not respect our women. We do not understand that a nation can sink very low when motherhood and womanhood go bad. To a certain extent, a woman is the conserver of our nation's welfare. Let our women go bad. Let our women frequent the wrong side. Let them dress immorally. And all of a sudden, our whole morals of our culture have become weakened. Let the woman keep her role as God has given it. Let woman dress modestly as God has advised it, and our nation will become strong again. God has not meant that we should put woman on a pedestal to make her some sort of sex object. I know that we have in America, we sell cars with a woman. We sell this and that with a woman. We all seem to peddle her, but she is really not just merchandise. She's a gift from God to man. This law and justice and liberty, all the things that our nation needs, can be brought back to the hand that rocks the cradle. She has more power than what we would ever deem is in that hand. We are here today to honor what God has given us. And you understand, and I do, that a community is not likely to be overthrown where woman fulfills her mission. For by the power of her noble heart, over the hearts of others, she will raise it from ruin and restore it again to the prosperity and joy which God meant for it. So what we're saying this morning is, sister, loan us your strength. Be a good wife. Be a good mother. Be a good grandmother. And if privileged, be a great grandmother. And a great, great grandmother, would never forget that even from your rock and chair in retirement, you still hold a sphere of influence, and that influence should never be forfeited because of age. Be that modest, be that well-groomed, be that mother, be that emblem but especially be what God has gave you the role to be. If she was created for man, and not only for the race of man, but for one man, then as easy and necessary inference is that the home is the proper scene for one woman to rule that house and submit herself to the head of that house so that her children will see government and respect responsibility and know what it is to be accountable. For all of this is taught by a woman in subjection to her man. Women are great teachers. She becomes the delight of the heart. She is the instigator of the word home, of love, nursery of virtue, the garden of enjoyment, the temple of concord, the circle of all tender relationships, the playground of childhood, the dwelling of manhood, the retreat of age, where health, love to enjoy its pleasures, and wealth reveals itself in luxury, but the property bears its rigors, where sickness can best be endured, its pain is discovered right there in companionship. Just this week, we have walked with the Estes family through the loss of a beautiful woman, not only outside, but inside. Her charitableness, her graciousness, her fearfulness in facing death. And it was a warm thing for me to see, as the last time I saw her alive, that Sunday morning, walking out there to pray for her, walking in that room where Zeke was there by himself, and seeing him holding her hand. I tell you, that's the way it's supposed to be. Till death do us part. We have a blessed life. And the spear of marriage has yet to be mined out. For everyone that takes that oath and keeps it and those vows and are determined to live by them, open up a new vein of riches that can last for generations. So this morning, woman, your mission is still the same. It has never been, and never will be taken from you by man or God. In fact, God still looks for woman to comfort. The words of a woman are still wise. And when you go through the Bible, please find me where God takes a whole chapter and dedicates it to the numeration of a good man. But I can tell you in the book of Proverbs that there is a whole chapter that is delegated to nothing else but the spelling out of a virtuous woman. And also, verse after verse will tell you that a bad woman, one out of character and one out of place, is called by this Bible, this book right here, the doorway to hell. Where others are stair steps to heaven, I say to you, the role model of God is the best that you can follow. And if you will dedicate yourself to that, we will have a strong church, and we will have a mighty, strong youth group, and we will be happy until the Lord comes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Bow your heads with me. Father, I pray that the words that I've spoken this morning will go to the hearts and the ears, and that you will not let them shake it off easily, but that you will bring it back to their remembrance, that they may, from this day, understand that there is but one good and perfect will of God, that we should love one another, and that love should be birthed at home by loving parents and placed in the hearts of children so they can go from that home with that great gift of love. Now may you bless us in the remainder of this service, and may you help us as only you can. And we will thank you for this privilege of sharing Mother's Day with everyone that's here. And I pray that you will bless us in that endeavor today, that we may spend our time with our mother. And I wish I could say to her this morning, I love you. But her ears cannot hear now. So I pray you'll speed these words from the lips of men and women to mothers that are alive and well, that they may hear them and be appreciated. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Brother Scott's going to come, and we want to sort of tell you that in case of more than one in any designation that we have, we will try to, as we would say,